Thank you, Matthew. And yes, we're running a little bit late, but let me give a brief overview, because the introduction that Mike Hume gave to the different framings about climate change is particularly relevant to what I got involved in, because initially the media often tries to use some very simplistic frames for discussions and debates about climate change, or even perceived debates. What we were trying to do was to look at what was being published in Australian newspapers and looking at different perspectives. So let's look at some other surveys of opinions on climate change. In particular, we're going to look at this around a series of statements, and Mike's already talked about this statement on the causes of climate change, that most of the observed increase in global average temperatures over the last 50 years is very likely to be due to the increase in greenhouse gas concentrations in the atmosphere. And that was a consensus statement from more than 150 country representatives, government representatives. And then 97% of active climate scientists agree with that statement. 50% of the US public agrees with that statement, that the increases in the Earth's temperatures over the last 100 years are more due to the effects of human activities, and of somewhat greater proportion, two-thirds of Australians think that climate change is occurring and is due to human activity. The interesting thing is that in terms of educational background, another group of relatively well-educated public, the TV weather forecasters in the United States, only a quarter of them, despite their better educational backgrounds, agree with those IPCC statements. In fact, more than 50% disagree or strongly disagree with the statement that increasing greenhouse gases are the main cause of climate change. Given that diverse range of opinions, what we wanted to do is look at media coverage of climate change. And yes, as Mike Hume has shown, there have been numerous studies and there is a lot of coverage in newspapers. And in some sense, journalists are expected to present a balanced perspective. And that often in newspaper articles means that there'll be an equal coverage of one side of views and another. In fact, most training of journalists in educational fora, in their degrees, is balance is important. What that means in an issue for which 97% of practicing climate scientists support a specific position is an interesting perspective. And yes, of course, editorial opinion can influence journalism and what gets printed in newspapers. And there has been a substantial amount of media content analysis, in particular on articles published. And Max Boykoff has led some of that analysis, both in the UK and in the United States. But as far as I'm aware, there has been no analysis of public opinions expressed in newspapers. And in particular, what we decided to do was look at letters to the editor and contributed opinion pieces, because often newspapers actually commission or encourage contributed opinion pieces. So we've looked at that, letters to the editor and contributed op-eds in major Australian newspapers over 4 years, 2006 to 2009, in The Australian, which is a broadsheet published across the nation, and in Sydney, a broadsheet and a tabloid, and in Melbourne, a broadsheet and a tabloid. It's also important to recognise in the Australian context that News Limited contributes as the publishing to three of those, and Fairfax publishes the two broadsheets in Sydney and Melbourne. What we did was essentially do an objective search using a search engine, and we started in 2006 because that's when there was online material available. We used the keyword search for climate change, global warming and greenhouse, and we extracted more than 10,000 items across this period, and they were all analysed. We first of all excluded the letters and the opinion pieces on greenhouses in the gardening section. We decided those weren't particularly relevant, but yes, they did get found. We then excluded letters for which it was not possible to do the content analysis, and I'll describe that a little bit later on. But what we did was do a content analysis based on a level of agreement with some statements, which are essentially summary statements based on the conclusions of the IPCC, and not just on science but also on impacts. And the sorts of statements that we used as our statements that we looked at level agreement with was the first, a set of five statements: that the climate system has warmed over the last 50 and last 100 years, that there's been a significant increase in global average temperature, that increases in greenhouse gases are the main contributor to that increase in global average temperature over the last 50 years, that increases in greenhouse gas emissions are likely to cause substantial future warming, that future warming will have some adverse impacts across a wide range of areas, including in terms of water resources, ecosystem, food supply, coasts, and human health, and that the costs of action now to reduce greenhouse gas emissions will be less than the future costs of the impacts of climate change associated with those future impacts. And all of those are simple conclusions from the IPCC and other studies, including the Garneau assessment and also the Stern assessment in the UK about the economic costs. So, how did we do this analysis and what did we do? Well, the first thing we had to do was look at a range of letters, and we had 10,000, and yes, we did do content analysis of every single one. The first thing we did was we rejected letters for which it was not possible to make a direct assessment. And a number of the letters were likely to have said, for instance, on climate change, David Karoly is wrong. Well, I know what that means, but it's very hard to determine, unless you know what David Karoly wrote in a previous survey, what that assessment meant. And so we only were able to make statements and assess the statements in terms of levels of agreement if there was material in the letter. And we then classified things as strongly agree when there were multiple pieces of information in the item which allowed an assessment of the level of agreement or disagreement. If it was a short thing, and often letters were quite short in the tabloids, we could only qualify them as disagree or agree. For instance, in the example here, I do not see any positive proof that climate change is caused by humans. We think that disagrees with the statement on causes of warming. But we can't see whether it's strongly disagree or not because it doesn't have multiple pieces of information. So the first thing we did was look at the number of items and how they varied over time. And I'll be showing a number of these diagrams. The thick line are letters. The thin lines are the contributed op-eds. And this graph shows the number of items analysed over time. The solid line is the Australian. The long dashed lines are the broadsheets, and the shorter dashed lines are the combined tabloids. And thin, remember, is op-eds, thick is letters. And what this basically shows is, yes, there are more letters published, and in particular there are more letters published in the broadsheets than there are in the tabloids, and there are more op-eds published in the broadsheets than there are in the tabloids, including in the Australian. But there's not a major difference over time, although 2008 was a little bit less than the other years. The other important point is only 25% of the 10,000 items had enough information to be classified. How did we do this content analysis? And we did it for each month, and then we combined it for each year. And what we did was something called a level of agreement. And you've often seen five-point scales from strongly agree, agree, neutral, disagree, and strongly disagree. Those are sometimes called a Likert scale. But basically, you can then put a numeric measure from 1 to 5 from the level of agreement, from strongly agree to disagree. Neutral is 3, and we combine them up. What this graph shows is the numbers in terms of each of those issues. And we found that there was lots of material, in this case letters, on the causes of the warming, but almost no one wrote about whether there was going to be any warming in the future or not. We actually didn't have enough items to see whether there was any opinion about whether warming was going to happen in the future or not. In fact, that almost seemed to have been accepted as it was going to happen. But we could not do analysis later on whether people were concerned about future warming or not. We looked at all the other issues. So now let's look at the scoring, and let's take one example. Letters in the Australian, the broadsheets and the tabloids on the issue of, are increasing greenhouse gases the main cause of future warming? And let's... I'm going to try to get this mouse to work so that I can point. Here we go. Let's look at the Australian first of all, which is the thick black bars. There are more letters, a larger proportion, that disagree than agree. In fact, if you add up the ones that disagree and strongly disagree, more than 60%, more like 70% show disagreement. But there are, of course, some letters published in the Australian, because of balance, that strongly agree with this as well. But you can combine them together. If you weight the scores, you get a score of 3.5 on the Likert scale, which is more to disagree than agree. Now you look at the broadsheets, The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, and they almost exactly mirror that. But they come up with a score of 2.4, more strongly agree and agree than disagree and strongly disagree. And the letters in the tabloids, well, they're even more strongly disagreeing than in the Australian newspaper. But the similarity here is that the readers of the Australian newspaper write letters as if the Australian newspaper is a tabloid. And that's probably not the perceived market of the Australian newspaper. So let's now look at see how these things change over time. And what we found is there is relatively little change over time in the levels of agreement, and relatively small changes in a number of different issues. But generally, particularly on the issue of is warming happening, a marked difference between the tabloids and the broadsheets, and a marked difference between the Australian and the broadsheets. The really interesting thing here is we can look at, in this case here, come on, pointer, here we go. Here we have the letters and the op-eds in terms of whether there's warming or not, and they show agreement in the broadsheets. The op-eds also in the tabloids show agreement that there's warming, but the letters don't. This is one of the few instances where the letters and the op-eds between a single source actually disagree in the levels of opinion, at least on this statement. But there's not much change over time. The interesting thing is the Australian op-eds show increasing levels of disagreement over time, and that's more manifest when we look at the causes of warming. In particular, if you go from 2008 to 2009, there's generally an increasing level of agreement on the causes of warming, except in the Australian newspaper, where there's an increasing level of disagreement, particularly in the op-eds. The most dramatic change in time wasn't in the opinions. It was in the number of items published. And the only place that that was changing was in the Australian newspaper, where there was a 50% increase in op-eds and a more than doubling of letters published on the causes of climate change in the Australian over time. That could not be anything except an editorial decision to allow more material to be published. The other interesting thing is when we look at will warming have an adverse impact or not. In this case, there is no disagreement. In the tabloids, in the Australian and in the broadsheets, nearly everyone agrees that there will be adverse impacts from future warming. Except in the Australian in 2008 and 2009, in 2006 and 2007 they all agreed, and then the Australian changed its opinion. Or should I say, the writers or the editorial policy changed in the Australian. And what about the costs of future action? Again, in 2007 and 2008, everyone, broadsheets and tabloids, agreed that the costs of future action was greater than the costs of current action on climate change. Except in 2009, particularly the op-eds in the Australian changed, with the op-eds indicating a disagreement that the costs of action now were less. So in summary, and I think I'm almost on time, we have undertaken an analysis in the newspapers to try to look at whether there is a unidimensional range of opinions, debate, as represented in material submitted to newspapers. This sort of content analysis of letters to the editor has been undertaken in one published study, but not on climate change, on responses to smoking, not on any other topic that we could find in any peer-reviewed journal. Well, I could be wrong. But we found this interesting because, in particular, we wanted to look at Australian newspapers. And generally, we found, yes, there is a broad spectrum of opinions included. Yes, newspaper editors try to present balance to some extent. But in fact, yes, we also found that our broad expectations of a range of opinions biased by the editorial policies and the market directions of the newspapers were met. And generally, there's a greater agreement with the statements on climate change in the broadsheets, the Fairfax media, than there is in the News Limited media, either the Australian, which purports to be a broadsheet, but has a readership which views climate change like the tabloids. And in particular, the statements on observed changes and causes of change in terms of climate change, there was little change over time, except in the Australian newspaper. And all letters and contributions in all newspapers generally agreed on the statements on the impacts and on the future. There isn't a divide, except in the Australian in 2009. So yes, it is likely that it requires polarised and motivated readers to either write a letter or contribute an op-ed. So we've got a very biased server. But it's also clear that the influence of editorial policy affects what gets published in op-eds and in letters to the editor. And it's important to understand that this unidimensionality of opinion does not exist in the real world, as Mike has talked about already. And this has sought to document some of that. Thank you.